fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The Champs beat the Blues.
The play ahead now for Taze with a shot here. Score! That got through Miller! And he has a look of disbelief.
Broussard. Out the other side, tries to center. They score! Kruger with the empty net goal.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, 8:03. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan on your Tuesday. It's Andrew Walker. It's Greg Brady. 1, 2, 3 NHL clubs didn't stave off elimination technically, but theoretically they did,
because you probably
get
mentally.
you get down 3-0 in a series, you're not going to win that series. And we saw the Dallas Stars, the Minnesota Wild, and the Chicago Blackhawks all get back into it, now all trail in their respective series 2-1. The Matt Cook incident, we will touch on that. And also, we'll get you set for Game 2 coming up tonight. It's the Raptors and it's the Brooklyn Nets. Get in line right now. We'll take your phone calls, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, your star 590. The officials. And everybody has a certain level of conspiracy type of theory as it relates to the NBA, the referees, the Brooklyn Nets, the Toronto Raptors. What are you watching for tonight? And are the Raptors getting a raw deal? And do you expect that to continue? But first, Greg, NHL last night, of those three teams that we mentioned, getting back into their series, the defending cup champs, the Minnesota Wild, and the Dallas Stars, in that group, is there a team or two that has that placebo effect of, yeah, you're always going to win game three at home because it's there's no better atmosphere? And further to that, did you see one of these series have that classic momentum-turning moment?
I don't know if it was the moment, but I think the Blackhawks, because it's been there, done that. The Dallas are almost all exclusively newbies to the playoffs. Same with Minnesota. They've got guys that have been there. Zach Parise's played in a Stanley Cup final.
We don't expect Dallas to win the series. Right? Would you agree?
No. I thought they'd push it. I thought they'd push Anaheim pretty deep. But yeah, it's Anaheim's series to lose. Chicago feels a lot more wide open because Andrew, they've been there before, and they probably feel like with a bounce or two they'd be up 3-0. That's the big thing. They haven't had a game where they've just been clearly outclassed yet. They are the defending champs. They have a defending champ as a coach.
They've led for more time in this series than the Blues have.
So I think they probably feel in it, and I know people will look at, they know they'll get Seabrook back for game six. St. Louis doesn't know when David Backes is going to skate again, let alone play again. I would argue Backes, weirdly, is more important than Seabrook. I know Seabrook plays in the top pairing, but everyone moves up a notch, but there's no guy that jumps up and takes over Backes. I told you earlier, even in March or February, I thought Chicago would win a series with St. Louis because St. Louis is really good depth. But they don't have superstars, and I think Chicago has superstars.
Boy, it's tough to argue that Seabrook's not more important, though. I mean, with no Backes, Backes is a great player.
That's why I found it tough to spit out.
Backes is a great player, and he's really effective. But you're going to see more of Jaden Schwartz, and you know, hopefully you're going to see a healthy Patrick Berglund at some point, and you're going to see more of Tarasenko and more of Sobotka. How do you replace Brent Seabrook on that team? Right, Nick Leddy's going to play more. Michael Roosevelt's going to play more.
They got a lot of guys who fit so nicely into a 4 or 5 spot on defense, and there isn't a guy sitting there waiting who's an automatic candidate to jump up and play with Keith. I agree with you there.
So Minnesota gets back into their series, a 1-0 win over Colorado. They needed overtime to do it. Like, they were a goal away from going down 3-0, but they dominated this game. Only Semyon Varlamov kept this game close, especially in that third period. It was a clinic put on by the Avalanche netminder.
I feel like you like the Wild
I think
the Blackhawks.
Of those three series, I mean, am I biased because I want to be right? Yeah, sure I am. I picked Minnesota to win this series, but I picked them for a reason. And I thought we saw that in game three. And I still think, and we're raving about Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog, as we should be, but there's still an element of the newness and the youth of this Avalanche team, and some of the guys, Zach Parise has been to a Stanley Cup final. Ryan Suter has played 50 playoff games, right? I think that if Darcy Kuemper can do what he did last night and keep his team around, I think Minnesota could still win this series.
They have some experience. I want to say the Wild have underrated experience. Pominville's played in a conference final.
Sure.
Miku Koivu's played lots of playoff games. Matt Molson played in the playoffs last year and was good against the Penguins.
Now, one of their most experienced guys is Matt Cook, and he is no longer there. And he will have an in-person hearing today for a knee-on-knee hit on Tyson Barrie. Now, we discussed it with Eric Francis a little bit, but not that the majority is always right in this, but we threw it out on Twitter, at Brady and Walker, and people hate Matt Cook. I mean, there's just no way around it, right? There is nobody on the other side saying, listen, after 3 years of good behavior, Matt Cook deserves a bit of a break.
But
everyone is 100% on the other side.
Yeah, reaction at Fan590 Walker, Brady Fan590, and of course our Twitter account for the show, Brady and Walker.
Yeah, this tweet from R. Pindur says, should be forced to retirement, useless player who will never learn. Doug says, if the NHL is any spine at all, literally any, Cook will get lifetime suspension. How many careers does he have to ruin? Scott on Twitter, at Brady Walker, says suspended for rest of playoffs. And Mark on Twitter, the most lenient of the bunch, says 10 games due to history. So everyone is kind of on the one side.
I don't think we'll see him. I know we won't see him again in this series, but I don't know if we see him again in the playoffs. But there's two things that will drive me crazy this morning. They make me want to go Matt Cook on somebody. One is the suggestion that somehow there's more of a lack of respect than ever in the NHL. These playoff incidents have gone on forever. Scott Stevens made
forever.
A living out of them when it was legal. And then you got Dale Hunter and Pierre Turgeon, Claude Lemieux and Chris Draper. We can go on and on and on. The other thing is that, why would you want a guy like Cook on your team? I don't know. He just took out Colorado's second-best defenseman for the rest of the series. And now he'll sit, but that's a trade you make every day. Again, we can talk about the morals and the ethics of it, but Minnesota want more home playoff games. They want to win this playoff series.
Right.
They're now more likely to win the playoff series, whether people like it or not. It's Torres and Hossa from 2 years ago that finished Chicago when they were defending champs to have him knocked out of that series.
You're right. It doesn't make it right, but it was you know, Daniel Sedin a few years ago. It was Torres on Hossa. It was in 2006. Edmonton goes to the final. They don't make it if Torres doesn't take out Milan Mikolajczyk in game number two of that series. That's you don't plan for that to happen, but you're absolutely right. That's
right.
Why.
So lots more on this. Rick Tocchet will join us at 8:40. He'll have thoughts. We've got Philadelphia and the Rangers, by the way, game three from Philly on Sportsnet 360 tonight. Rick will be in-house for that particular contest. We'll ask him about it. We mentioned our number 416-870-0590. We mentioned the concept, and I think Raptors fans had it in the back of their head before game one, Andrew, Saturday, and then it came to the forefront. The idea that there is an element within the league that would prefer the Brooklyn Nets win. There's two ways to look at it. One is veteran players will get veteran calls. Guys with rings will get calls. And then Jason Kidd might even get more sway than Dwayne Casey because he's more well-known.
Don't forget that.
Even though he's not more of a veteran coach. But the other one is simply that gets a little silly. Cathal Kelly, and I'm not saying what he's... This is why Cathal is great, because he makes you think. You don't agree with everything, but in the Globe and Mail this morning, the headline is NBA star-driven realities will put an end to Raptors season. Where do you weigh in on the concept that the Raptors have to do more than the Nets do, simply put? Now, they got to win an extra game right now, but I mean more when the ball gets thrown up tonight, they'll have to earn it more than the Nets will, instead of, as we said earlier, why can't the referee just say, that's a foul, that's not a foul? I don't treat Grievous Vasquez any differently than I do Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. And I think this is an NBA problem. And surprise, surprise, it's the only league to have a referee basically admit to throwing games or doing his best to influence games that large amounts of money were being bet on years ago. But you look at the NHL. And what's the best compliment you can give Carey Fraser or Don Van Massino? It's an old adage, but
Didn't notice him.
Yeah. Oh, who is reffing that game? I have no idea. It's the best compliment you can ever give. And we've gotten away from that in the NBA. If DeMar DeRozan drives the lane and draws a certain amount of contact, you call the foul. The same as you would on Paul Pierce. The same as you would with Kyle Lowry. The same as you would with Steve Novak. I mean, it should always be the same. And I think that's the danger the Raptors face, is because Terrence Ross is going to have to spend three more years in the playoffs before he gets the same calls that Deron Williams will
get. Which is why, not that you can write it down and make sure you do it, I drive the basket more of them, guys like DeRozan. Lowry's going to do it anyway, but guys like DeRozan and Russ, drive it. Make them. They won't call you on jump shot fouls. They're not going to call ticky-tack stuff. You won't get those kind of Kevin Durant calls like he got on the three-pointer last night, the miracle three-pointer he threw out.
And this is a big story, and whether you believe there's any sort of conspiracy or not, Raptors fans, media, and NBA people in general outside of Toronto, there's going to be a lot of people watching the officials tonight in this game. And was how big of a story it was.
And the fact that it exists at all, it makes some people a little silly. You go from the sanity of Cajal's argument to Doug Smith writing in The Star, he wrote this yesterday, about how the Raptors are just fed up with shoddy treatment. And he references, it's the fact a division championship team got the worst possible start time for its playoff opener, 12:30 p.m. on a Saturday. Guess what? San Antonio played the next day at 12 noon. I mean, body clock, how much water can you carry for a team? Honestly, San Antonio won more games than anybody.
Yeah, San Antonio's the most respected NBA franchise out there.
You're going to play Golden State at 9 in the morning Pacific? I mean, it's got nothing. So it gets people way out there with their theories. I mean, it's kind of people that believe in spaceships are landing out in Roswell.
And listen, does the NBA want, like, if you ask Adam Silver today, do you want a Brooklyn-Miami second-round matchup? He would say, off the record, yes, of course we do. It's the best TV matchup there is. It doesn't mean you're trying to influence it.
But would the NBA like the Knicks to be good, the Sixers to be good, the Celtics to be? Would they rather the most dominant team in the NBA the last two decades not live in San Antonio, Texas?
Of course they would.
And would they rather have a superstar more interesting than Tim Duncan? Yes. So you can't have everything you want. But I don't doubt it's an uphill fight for the Raptors. I buy that, but we can't get too silly with it.
And they should use it as motivation.
One on this. Pat Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, guys, I am 100% one of those people that believe, you know, the NBA would much rather see Brooklyn face Miami than Toronto. And I'm certain that message has somehow trickled down to the referees, and it's very evident. I mean, it's always...
How does it? You got to give us more than that. I know people think that. How does it trickle down to the refs?
Well, plain and simple, the very fact that you watch, I've watched a number of NBA games this year, and you always hear the commentators, the experts talk about, you know, how the veteran players, the guys that have been through it, you know, get those foul calls, and that DeMar DeRozan and everybody else has to work a little bit harder, you know, get more experience to get those calls. So by that very nature, you have this matchup now with these perennial, Hall of Famers against the Raptors, and that's what you're going to get. It's kind of sad in a way. You kind of think that I wish the Raptors would have played Washington, then we would never be talking.
I know. You're not wrong about this, but sometimes you just got to be more talented. We watched Oklahoma City come back in a series against San Antonio, and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook made the calls go their way against Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. You do have to, there has to be an ascendancy to get to that level to get those calls. Yeah.
But you know how it is, and we saw it in game one. I can't sit here and tell Pat that he's wrong, right? And I have no proof that it's not trickling down from the NBA to the referees, and he doesn't have proof that it is. But I can't sit here and tell him he's way out to lunch.
But again,
because I saw the same things everybody else saw in game one.
Yeah, but again, it's just as wrong if they go pro Raptors tonight and give them the first seven foul calls.
Of course, just call a normal game. Just call a normal game. Pretend you're a high school ref.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The referee can't be the show.
Yeah.
He can't be the show. We're not there to see you.
Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hello, Brooklyn!
We want to respect Brooklyn, but hey, let's don't over-respect them. Let's go attack them, go at them, you know, attack their feet, be aggressive.
That is Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey. He was on with his favorite show, his favorite morning show on this station yesterday. He was on with us.
If he wins, he has promised, if they win tonight, he's promised to come on tomorrow.
Did he?
No.
Oh,
but If you throw in a rumor like
they,
that,
they promised to give us one of the assistants. But it's
they promised to give you tickets tonight to take your brother. Well, that's impossible because we won't know if they win or not.
Game two tonight, Raptors in Brooklyn Nets. And big news from our show today is we are giving away on Friday a trip to Brooklyn, courtesy of Porter Airlines, to Brooklyn for game four, Raptors and the Nets. So we'll fly you out, accommodations, all of that, and the tickets to game four, which happens next week.
Have you flown Porter to Newark before?
Yet.
And then you come into the city. It's so unbelievably convenient. Because not all the New York airports, LaGuardia, Kennedy, and Newark are all kind of nuts anyway, but you're downtown in Porter. You're eating free nuts, like the Swiffer, the guy says with the squeegee thing, try my nuts.
Right.
Taste my nuts. What does he say?
I don't know. The slap chop. That's
slap
what you're
chop.
Thinking of.
Yes.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we're going to take a qualifier here on Brady and Walker. Now, we're going to play 5 and 15. So get in line right now if you want to play for your chance to go to Brooklyn for game four, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590 on your cell phone. We're going to play 5 and 15. We'll ask you sports or non-sports. You give us which one you prefer, and then you have to name five things in 15 seconds with that clock is running. We'll give you the category. So that's coming up momentarily. And our next guest is someone that has played in big playoff games for the Toronto Raptors before.
Yeah, he'd know about advancing. He'd know about tough Eastern Series. 8 years with the Raptors, of course, and a 10-year NBA career. Alvin Williams joins us on Brady and Walker. We were talking so much yesterday, Alvin, about the shot clock being off. Not being able to tell how much time there was. No one's really paying attention to the PA announcer. So a lot of onus on the players. I that must have been incredibly difficult for those players. You probably never had to experience that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. You're just used to it. You're used to when the clock is ticking a little bit. And sometimes the strategy, sometimes you run plays at certain times. And when we used to play and it got below 8 seconds, we would call red to make sure we went to exact play or stuff like that. So without you knowing those things, a lot of your tendencies and a lot of your habits could be thrown off a little bit.
Your impressions on game one and how it relates to game two coming up tonight, maybe specifically, Alvin, the veteran calls to veteran players. Did you think that the officials were catering to Brooklyn late in that game?
You know what? I really can't say. You know, you have those situations where you see it a lot, but like you said, those guys are very, very savvy. They're veterans, Paul and Joe, and I mean their whole team is savvy as far as that their guard play, especially Kevin Garnett. So you know they know how to work the officials. They know how, and that whole game is like a strategy match. So I'm sure they were posturing all game to try to get calls, to get moves, maneuvers, and it worked to their advantage at the end.
Alvin Williams, our guest on Brady and Walker. What's your? It had to bring back some memories. How jacked the crowd was, and it's been a long time. I don't even think the couple years they went to the playoffs with the Bosch teams here replicated the excitement that your group of Raptors brought to the city. What did Saturday remind you of from especially the 2 years, 2001 and 2002?
It reminds just the little time. It's just the outside. I got a chance to experience outside a little bit by addressing the crowd for a brief moment, but it was unbelievable. You know, the energy, and you already expect that from the Toronto fans. I mean, I've seen the energy there when we were losing. So I knew what to expect, but it's always good, especially I used to always talk to Kyle, and I just wanted him to experience that, mm-hmm. or get a chance to see how good the city is from that aspect, and that day was nothing short of that.
You mentioned Kyle Lowry. That's a guy that, in a lot of ways, you look back at your careers, is kind of following in your footsteps a little bit. Your thoughts on his game, his season, and what he's meant to this team as a leader?
I mean, he's coming around. He's coming around. I haven't been there this year, so I can't give you the locker room presence or the relationship with other players and stuff. But it's an indication of how successful they are. You don't have too many of those issues, internal issues, with the teammates and the coaching staff. It seems like everyone on the same page, but I'm sure he's trying his best and he's doing well as far as trying to be a leader for the team. On the floor, he's playing at a level of probably definitely one of the best guards in the NBA, point guards in the NBA right now. But the level he's playing at and that game with he and Darren Williams is such a physical game. I'm sure you guys seen it too. They're beating each other up and they're going at each other like like an old school playground game. So it's very exciting to see. And he's made for this. He's built for this situation. He couldn't wait for this opportunity. So I'm still looking forward to see how he responds tomorrow also.
Alvin Williams, our guest, 8 years here in Toronto, of course, in the Raptors' backcourt. We were also discussing whether the Raptors are building a rivalry with the Nets. I think it has to come through playoffs. They've shown that great Bad Boys documentary, the 30 for 30, and you realize what rivals. You probably had it more in college maybe than your NBA career. Villanova's got to beat Georgetown, and you got to beat Providence. Did you feel when you were playing you built a rivalry with another team, or was it just in playoff series?
It comes to the playoff series because it's really magnified, and you know that's where everything's at stake. So when you have two teams battling, and it's something where you know every game means something, every possession means something. Words are shared, and you know statements are made, and you know articles are created. So with those things being happening, and then you have when you have great players going at one another, it's one of those things. Like I just remember playing the Sixers, and when we went Game 7, that became something where even the upcoming season and regular season games, it was pretty highly anticipated game, waiting for the Vince Carter matchup, waiting for the Allen Iverson matchup, and just waiting for that experience again. But you know, it definitely comes with the playoffs.
My memory of 0-2 is that with the Pistons, it was a best of five still then, and there was some debate about, were the American fans booing "Oh Canada"? Were the Canada fans booing "Star Spangled"? And the players were like, "It's all Greek to us. We're just here to play." But the fans started disliking each other more than the players did.
Exactly. I remember even when we played the Knicks, and someone would say, "I think it might have been Game 5 also," and they booed the Canadian national anthem, and I was pissed off. And I'm American myself, but I was pissed off because you know. That was part of us now, and that's who we're representing. But you know, it gets really exciting, gets intense, and there's no other feeling. Trust me, it's the best feeling in the world when you get a chance to be on a big stage, high level basketball, and your fans are behind you, your opponent's fans are against you, and you get an opportunity to play well. So, I wish all these players the best, man. I wish DeMar and all these guys really can enjoy this experience.
So there you go, Alvin Williams.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Fantastic stuff. A lot of insight and certainly gets in the head of what DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have to accomplish tonight in Game 2. Don't forget, we're broadcasting Game 4, okay? Sunday night, Game 4, Nets, Raptors, live from the Barclays Center. We're trying to send you there as well.
Yeah, we're taking qualifiers today and on Wednesday and on Thursday, and as will the Jeff Blair Show, as will Tim and Sid, we will fly you to Brooklyn for Game number 4. And it includes round-trip flights, courtesy of Porter Airlines, flying refined, two nights hotel accommodation at the Aloft, New York, Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn, and, of course, two tickets, Raptors and Nets, on Sunday, April 27th. So we have our callers. We're going to play 5 and 15. Greg, this is how it works. We have everybody lined up right now. It's the first person to successfully pass our challenge. You pick sports or non-sports, and then you have to name five things in the category of our choosing in 15 seconds with that clock ticking down.
Let's kick it off with Alex and Maple. Alex, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
You got the weekend free. You can go to Brooklyn if we send you there?
Yep.
All right.
Do you know how to play, Alex?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So pick sports or non-sports.
Okay, let's go sports.
Sports. Tell us 5 and 15 seconds, five South American nations that will play in this summer's World Cup in Brazil.
Okay, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, and Colombia.
You're correct. Boom. Hang on the line. My God. I thought that was one of the hardest ones, and we set it out right at the beginning. Ecuador was the other one. Next time it's 6 and 15.
He got right in. I would have said that was a pretty easy one.
Oh, my God.
Because all you got to do is name countries.
Yeah, that's hard to do. You get the one wrong country. There's only, you know how many countries there are in the CONMEBOL region?
That are good enough at soccer to advance to the World Cup?
Well, Peru's gone before. Paraguay's gone before.
Right, but you can list a bunch and get them wrong and just keep firing through
well,
countries.
Well, guess what? The update
here,
will
I got,
run. Guess
I got,
what? The update will run on time.
I got one for you.
All right.
Name me five Jack Nicholson movies. It's his birthday today. In 15 seconds.
The Departed, The Two Jakes, and Chinatown. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Anger Management. I think 10 and 15. Yeah,
that's
15.
Easy for you.
30 though. For 30.
You have a poster of him on your ceiling.
Yeah.
Mrs. Brady does not like him.
It's very, Kathy Bates movies where she's naked. I can only name one that she's in with Jack Nicholson. And it's called About Schmidt. Don't ever watch it, kids.
Also, what's the one? The... Where she gets into the hot tub.
That's it. That's About Schmidt.
No, there's two. There's another one.
No. Really? Is there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Misery.
Maybe she doesn't get in a hot tub in Misery. She chops off James Caan's leg.
Yeah, isn't she naked in Misery, too?
I don't think so.
She's been naked in too many movies.
She won the Academy Award for that. You're not going to give her an Academy Award for being naked. I don't think. We're not talking Charlize Theron and Monster or whatever.
Throw it a commercial.
I should do that. Rick Tocchet joins us next. Another qualifier tomorrow. So if you didn't qualify today, and if your name isn't Alex and Maple, you didn't. We'll take another one tomorrow and tell you how we'll do it at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. 8:35. Rick Tocchet next.
Prizes like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Back at it. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Rolled it ahead to Kunitz. Tanyan scores! Well, they keep coming. Bobrovsky came to cut the angle. He did not. Now look what's happened. Game is tied.
It was a Monday. There you go. Columbus-Pittsburgh game 3 last night. It's been quite the series. Columbus blows a 3-1 lead in game 1. They erase a 3-1 deficit in game 2. And then last night, they blow another 3-1 lead at home. But they do it in the span of 2 minutes of the third period. So close to take a 2-1 series lead on Pittsburgh. They lose 4-3. Everything was happening in Columbus yesterday. And a lot, Greg, in Minnesota as well. It is Brady and Walker, 8:44 on your Tuesday. Minnesota stays alive, in essence, with a 1-0 win over Colorado. But Matt Cook, up to his old tricks. And there aren't very many people out there. And I feel, if anything, I'm defending him a little bit. There's not very many people out there, Greg, that are giving Matt Cook any benefit of the doubt, even though he's kept his nose clean for 3 years.
Again, you don't have to like it, but you know why the guy keeps getting gigs. Why would Minnesota may win this playoff series based on Tyson Berry not playing over the next 3 or 4 games? Might.
Yeah, so at least Matt Cook is getting gigs. No, they're not signing.
I'm not saying he can't play either.
No, they're not signing him because he might injure another player, and that's good for us. That's not the reason.
Says who? He gets double digit goals and assists every year. I agree. It's not Colton Orr out there. I agree with you there. So I'm not saying he can't play hockey. He clearly can.
Yeah, he's an effective player.
Okay,
but the Minnesota Wild are signing him because he's been there, he's won, he's an effective forechecker. They're not saying, we might get lucky and he might injure an opponent.
Are the Wild disappointed Tyson Berry won't play again this series? Are they really upset that he won't play again this series? They're glad he's not in a coma, but they're not disappointed by this. No one can come out and say it publicly.
I go back and forth. I think there's a lot of good people in hockey. I think if you go to Mike Yeo and say, would you take that Matt Cook hit back and we just go back?
Gee, I don't know.
I think he might.
I think there's
more respect in hockey than you think.
It's an impossible question publicly to answer. A guy who might know, who'll set one of us in our place, is, of course, a Stanley Cup winner, a fantastic player. He'll be front and center. Rangers-Philly tonight, by the way. We've got that game on Sportsnet 360. That is game 3, as Philly had a big comeback. So much hockey since then, we've almost forgotten about it. Rick Tocchet joins us on Brady and Walker. What was your observation of the Cook hit? And where, if you ran NHL discipline, Rick, what would Matt Cook get?
Well, when he was in Pittsburgh, obviously the last couple of years his nose has been clean, but even before that, there was a couple of years there, and it was obviously one of the worst hated guys. Even players didn't like him. And then the Penguins. Remember, he had that big suspension; they sent him down. And since then, he's been, I don't want to say a model citizen. He's actually played very well, effective guy. He played well for the Penguins, and he has a nice job for Minnesota. Because of the black mark, all the stupid things he's done in the past, he's going to get 6-7 games. And Tyson Berry, who I love this kid. He's up for the series, so that's, it might be more because of that.
But at what point, I mean, if we believe as a league, as a sport, as a society in rehabilitation and all of this, at what point does Matt Cook get the benefit of the doubt? Like, would it have been 5 years, or was he always one misstep away from a huge slap on the wrist?
I think he was always going to be under watch. I mean, you know, within reason. I mean, we've all been there in the situation. I know that. I doubt he went out there and said, "I'm going to knee and try to get this guy out of the series." I don't think he's got that cold-hearted of a guy. You know, when you go to hit a guy, it's a split-second decision, and he stuck the knee out. I mean, it's more of a technical thing and a careless thing. You know, I remember, I got a knee in penalty 5 minutes in CBR, and I got a couple of games for that. It's not that I wanted to do that. It's just that it's a reaction. You're trying to hit a guy. He makes a move. You try to recover in a half second. You basically can't do that anymore. I mean, you know, if you go at a guy and you're going to miss him, you basically got to, and coach will hate this, you got to just kind of sweep by him. You missed your check. You know, he tried to, you know, because he was going to go around him, he stuck his knee out and he's going to have to pay the piper. So I just don't think he honestly wanted to do it on purpose. I know a lot of people hate Matt Cook, but I mean, is he that cold-hearted? I don't think so.
Plus, not only you had to give us some cash that year, Rick, but you also had to fight Joey Koser right away. I was at that game. That was not... nobody wants that.
That's another topic. At least I fought Joey Koser. I mean, I hate the guys that do it and then they don't fight. You know, that's what bothers me. Anyway, that's for another topic.
Did St. Louis let one get away? Chicago has to. They can't feel terrible. They've got two more home games in this series, and they might be able to make the argument that they could be up in this series. Certainly 2-1, maybe 3-0. They haven't had a game where I think they've looked bad yet.
Listen, I think everybody, if you would have said at the beginning of the series, it's probably will go 7 games, and I really believe it's going to go 7. I mean, listen. You got a heart of a lion in the Chicago team. Oh, down 0-2. They what a good game they played yesterday. You know, they shut the door. I thought I was really kind of like as a guy that used to play, proud of a guy like Crawford who let that couple of bad goals in. Obviously, that overtime goal was awful. He comes back. I mean, that's the sign of a good hockey player who's got character. So I got to give credit to Crawford. To come and do what he did in Game 3.
Of those three teams that kind of saved their seasons last night, Minnesota was one, Dallas was one, and then Chicago was one. Do you see any of those three games being the one that turns this series around the other way for any of these teams?
You know what? I think Minnesota, you know, I had Minnesota upsetting Colorado, and I love Colorado. I think Patrick Roy has done an unbelievable job. I just think maybe they're a year or two young to go all the, you know, to make a serious run. Obviously, the first couple get second, especially the second game, they looked awesome. But I think getting Kemper in there was the best thing that Yo did. I mean, get Brzgalov out of there. I mean, I'm not going to blame him. To me, Kemper just looked very confident. The team looked confident. I mean, what, they have 40 shots in Minnesota last night? There was a lot of... I have a feeling that Minnesota... And then there's another game that can go 7. You know, I see Minnesota winning at home again. I don't think Minnesota will lose at home. So I could see this going 7 also.
And your thoughts tonight, Philadelphia, they fought their way back in this series. I mean, the Rangers did everything they needed to do in Game 1. They got the early lead in Game 2. Does Philly feel new life from this now? And I feel like they're playing a little bit with house money, Rick, because their regular season wasn't the greatest. They moved Laviolette out so early. I think there's more pressure on the Rangers, believe it or not, even though Philly's the home team.
Well, you know, there's a lot of storylines, you know. You know, the Flyers spent a lot of money. You know, they got Cavalier. They went and got Straight. I mean, they spent money to win this year. And obviously, the start was awful. Craig Ruby came in there and steadied the ship. They've actually played well the last couple of months. Drew's played awesome the last couple of months. And after Game 1, you know, the Flyers never had the puck. The Rangers had the puck on their stick all game. I think everybody's building this Ranger team to be the 1970 Stanley Cup champions. And If I'm Alan Vigneault, I'm a little concerned. I mean, they're up 2-0, and they had a string of power plays. And the Rangers just look like, when you have a foot on the wounded snake, you got to snap its neck off. They just kind of like some of the shot selections, the intensity. And like, is Rick Nash going to show up? I mean, that's what I want to know. And that these are good. Like, you're going into Philly now. If Philly wins this game tonight, you know, Rangers are against the ropes. Now, the only thing is, here's the thing. Is Emery going to outplay Lundqvist again? I mean, that's the one thing. I said to the guys yesterday, I think Lundqvist maybe lets one or two in. So can Emery shut the Rangers up? Because I think there's going to be a 2-1 hockey game. It's no way Lundqvist is going to let 3-4 goals in tonight.
Hey, Rick, appreciate this morning, and thanks very much.
Okay, guys, take care.
Rick Tockett, excellent stuff, as always. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, RealRocket22. He was suspended more in his NHL career, at least time suspended, than Matt Cook was. So.
Right, and no one's saying, oh, boy, Rick Tockett, what a dirty player. No, he was tough. But same with Mark Messier, tough.
Like I said, I feel like guys retire, and, yeah, you get away from Messier and what Tiikkanen was and what Dale Hunter was and Claude Lemieux was, and we just think, playoff, character, blah.
It was a bad hit from Cook. Anytime you stick the knee out, you know, was he trying to hurt
and
Tyson
lifted,
Berry?
I don't know. But you know what? He lifted his foot, yeah, too. Like, it's not only did he stick his knee out, but he raised it.
But you know what it is, though? When
it's
at
a dick
at
is
high
what it
speed,
is.
Sure, but... when he's going to hit Tyson Berry, and Tyson Berry's a shifty, young, great skating defenseman, and he's going to miss. And there's a level of, an element of, oh, I'm going to miss the hit. There's a level of embarrassment
Can't
there.
Can't do it. Guys miss hits.
So, yeah. But it's, so you stick out the knee, and it's dirty. But does it mean we should tar and feather him and Dundas Square?
Hell yeah.
No.
Hell yeah. It's a repeat offender. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I think the truth is, throw him out of the game. But you're probably, you know, when do we give him the benefit of the doubt? And other people are like, when do we get guys, when does the league finally step up and say, when do players say, I don't want to play against this guy ever again?
See,
when would a star player say that?
I would argue the fact that the guy has what? How many years has he gone by without doing anything? Three. I would argue that makes it worse. The fact that he did it after cleaning up his act for 3 years. To me, that makes it even worse.
But we had reached a point where, I mean, Ottawa media is all over him today because they think he purposely cut Eric Karlsson's Achilles. That's stupid.
That's dumb.
Take off your Karlsson.
That's the Ottawa media, and I mean, they're little parochial little minds.
I would agree with that.
Well said. Speaking of that.
speaking of little minds.
Well, speaking of paying the price. Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, baby.
We'll join you at 10 o'clock.
I think that the refs are being paid by the NBA to throw this series, to give the series to the Nets. So I figured I'd ask a guy who knows about throwing stuff and being paid.
It's fascinating. I might listen to the whole show today.
I'm serious.
No, I'm serious, too. I might listen.
I absolutely believe the NBA wants Brooklyn to win. There's no way the Raptors win this series, unfortunately.
I think they got a great shot to win. And I think they'll win tonight, that's for sure. Guaranteed win night. Brady says so.
Don't do that.
I just did. Yeah.
Nothing can go wrong.
No, probably not. Jeff Blair next with the Jeff Blair Show. Baseball Central at 11. Hockey Central at noon. Don't forget Flyers Rangers on Sportsnet 360 tonight at 8 o'clock. Have a great day.